I got a stack of stuff going on up here this morning. Kind of looks like my desk. How are you guys today? Great. You know, this is called Palm Sunday. And who knows why it was called Palm Sunday? Somebody want to tell me? Well, I guess if I had to bring it to modern day thinking, it would be a red carpet entry. You know, rolling out the red carpet for Jesus as he rode in. And amazing how just very few short days later, they would be yelling for him to be crucified. Unbelievable. Do you guys ever have a situation you can relate to where you were really excited about a new job and you wanted to go and everyone wanted you there, and then you got there and in a very short time no one liked you and you thought, oh wow. Or another example, I've seen this so many times, where a pastor will be candidating at a church. And the church will just, oh, they just love this guy, and they call him, and they just can't wait for him to get there. And he comes and begins the work, and people take him out to dinner, and people love him and raise him up and hug him at the door and all these things. And then a year later, he's gone. Well, I don't really want to cheapen at all what Jesus Christ went through. But kind of on a human level, you can understand a little bit of rejection's what I'm talking about. Or someone tells you that they love you, and you find out, well, they really didn't love me. They just loved me what I did and what I had. And Jesus ran into that. Understand that he had just done all these miracles. People were fascinated with what he did. It was unbelievable. Historical record of these things. Ah, here comes the Lord into Jerusalem. Some thought he was a great man and a great teacher. Others thought, is this the Messiah coming? Then he got into town. And he began to speak the truth. And people began to feel a little bit of angst. A little bit of conviction, maybe. And it wasn't long till they turned on him and said, no, you're not going to cramp our lifestyle, no matter who you say you are. And they accused him of everything under the sun. And they crucified our Lord. My question this morning is, do you realize why he did what he did? What's the significance of that? So I've got Bibles piled all over the place, so I won't have to keep trying to find stuff or flipping to it. You know how that can get crazy up here. So we're going to take a look at that this morning. And I want to look a little bit at what actually went on and what he did. First place I'd like to begin is in Ephesians chapter 2. And it begins, and you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. What do we know about people that are dead? There's no life, is there? Can't talk to them. You can't revive them. There's no hope for anything for them physically on this earth and in the future. I mean, if someone that you know, a loved one or someone, passes away, you certainly don't walk up and ask them what they want for Christmas next year, because they're not going to answer you, and it really wouldn't matter if you got it, right? They're dead. The Apostle Paul wants us to know here, there's a method to our salvation. So he first wants to remind you that you were dead. You were dead in trespasses and sins. Not alive. No hope. None. No one's worthy. Dead. Completely dead. It says, in which in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. So I ask you this morning, you're dead in trespasses and sins. No life. What good comes of it? No good comes of it. What kind of trespasses would have to make you dead? Any. Any. No varying degrees here of right and wrong. It's any. Any sin whatsoever left you without any hope or redemption. No way to reach God. No bridge. Picture, if you will, two great lands. One's the land of hope, where God reigns, and one's the land of earth, where you live dead in trespasses and sins. There's a 4,000 foot drop in the middle. It's a straight wall. And guess what? You have no building materials. And last I checked, people can't fly. There's no way to get there. You're dead. Impossible. Understand something today, Christian. That's your condition. That was your condition without Jesus Christ. Dead in trespasses and sins. And in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. Among whom we also all had our manner of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. You realize here that Paul's talking to believers here, right? And he's reminding them of where they've been and who they were. So before we all, you know, get on kind of a holy high horse and say, well, that isn't me. No, that is you. That's all of us. Guilty of sin. But God, I love those but words. If not for those, we might be in real trouble. But for God, not for you, but for God. He did it. He caused all this motion to go into motion and happen. God sent his son. God did it. Not any works you have done. Not anything you could do. Not anything you knew. Not any feeling you had. God. Who is rich in mercy and great in love. Now, what I want you to understand about that. Mercy was God's condition. He was in a condition of mercy for you. Love was his vehicle. Love is what he had for you that caused it to happen. But it was grace that saved you. God's grace saved you. even when you're dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. For grace are you saved. You cannot be saved without grace. Can't happen. God's grace is what caused you to be saved. Grace is an interesting word. Grace, I want to read you this from the Greek lexicon for the word that was used for grace. And what they meant by was this: a warm, free-handed, spontaneous generosity that is kind when there is no reason to be. That's grace. It's totally unmerited. It's unwarranted. But it is kind when there's no need to be. God's grace is what saved you. Not how pretty you are. Not how stoic you are. Not how knowledgeable you are. Not how pious you are. It was God's grace. Even when we were dead. Now wait a minute. What do you want to save something that's dead for? I already told you. Because of his love and mercy. He had mercy on you, a filthy, rotted, dead corpse. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Do we realize that sacrifice that was made and why? Because he loved us. There had to be a payment made for sin. Couldn't be made by anybody. It had to be an unblemished lamb. And Jesus Christ was the only sacrifice that could have been made to cover the sin that each of us carried with us from birth. Another story. That I'd like to share with you this morning. I turned that page away. Bear with me a minute. Another story I'd like to share with you this morning is that of a young man. I think everyone you know this young man. You know, Jesus loved to speak in parables, didn't he, in stories. You ever notice how we pay attention more when someone tells a story? See, Jesus understood that well. Something we can relate to. Somebody stands up and they speak in long, eloquent words. People don't really understand. After a while, they just turn their phone on and start playing a game. They didn't have phones back then, but I don't know. I'm sure they did something. Prodigal son. What happened to the prodigal son? I think he wanted his inheritance early. Am I right? He went off and he lived in riotous living. Having a blast. It's kind of like when a lot of people get out of high school. You're kind of under mom and dad's thumb a little bit, and you're suddenly free. And you run out, and you have riotous living. I'm sure none of you ever did anything like that. But then there came a problem. This fellow became broke. He went through his money. He ended up feeding swine. taking what little scraps were left from the pigs to eat. You know, there's more to that story that sometimes people realize. Do you understand that if you even messed with swine as a Jew, you were considered dead already? So not only did this young man leave and run away from everything he had been taught and everything that he was, he's playing with pigs. He's real dead. He's scuzzy dead. And one day he wakes up and he realizes that, whew, this is horrible. I'm not even fit to be one of my father's servants, but maybe I'll go back and he'll at least give me some work and feed me, because this is horrible. And on his own account, he stands up and he marches back to Dad. Kind of with his head down, though, right? Dad sees him what? Coming afar off, doesn't he? What does he say? Huh? Get the party ready. Kill that fatted calf. Get my signet ring. Give me a robe. And the son comes just wanting anything but where he's been. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have any of you ever wanted to be anywhere but where you've been? Huh? Yeah. I mean, a lot of times, you know, when we really hit rock bottom, when things are really rotten and horrible, we don't want the high-minded things we may have thought of before. We just want to be anywhere but where we've been. Lord, just give me some peace. Lord, just give me rest. Lord, let me go to bed with at least partially a full belly. I can't take this anymore. So here's the father. And he stops the son a ways off. And he says, son, I see you coming, but there's a list of things you can do, got to do before you stand in my presence again. Someone take the water out and wash this young man and get him clean. Clean him up. He's been with pigs. I can't have this around me. We're Jewish. And he said, he's got to prove to me that he's going to really be back this time, or I'm not going to let him back. Right? No. No. Sounded good, didn't it, Janice? Kind of fit with the story, right? Kind of funny. People will follow you sometimes. We've got to be very careful what we hear. We really do. We got to test these things, don't we? Last Monday morning in Bible study, I pulled a fast one and was teaching a passage completely out of context. It fit. It looked good. It sounded great. I mean, it really worked. People were even buying in. Then Ted spoke up and he said, that's not what that passage really says, is it? No, he didn't add the is it part. He said, it's not what it really... And he was right. But I proved a point. The point is, we have to be careful. Because things can be made to sound pretty good, and they can even look like they fit. But if it's not in the context, it isn't. Right? No, that's not what happened at all. He sees his son coming and he runs and he hugs him and doesn't even notice that he smells pig poop. Huh? That his son is covered in filth and sweat and he's got a scraggly beard where he hadn't shaved in forever, and he smells and he's sweaty and he smells of swine and filth, and yet his father embraces him. You seeing a picture here? That's you. but you. There's something else about that passage that I want to point out. See, many times we think that it's all about us. I surrendered, I gave, I did this, I did that, but we leave something out completely. See, even that young man in that story would probably think that he got up and ran back to his father because finally he had the knowledge to know that he should do that. The Holy Spirit would have been dragging him back to his father. I ask you a question. When you finally had enough living in the bottom of the barrel, who it is you think that tells you you've had enough living in the bottom of the barrel? It's the Holy Spirit. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it's a simple act of obedience because you've been called out by the Holy Spirit to come and to believe. And it's an act of obedience. And from that point, we begin to grow. We begin to learn. We begin to study the Word, to understand the Word. Oh, what a blessing God has given each and every one of us that choose to follow Him, that answer that call for obedience, totally unmerited, not worth anything. But here's the thing, guys. It has to remain about Him. See, He's the one that called you. He's the one that had mercy. God had mercy on you. God loved you. And because of His grace, He sent His Son. Now, there had to be something that you did. At that time, you surrendered your life to the Lord. And that was have faith in Jesus Christ for the gift that He offered. And I'm going to look at that a minute, too, if we could, please. Three things that is part of faith. First one is you've got to have some form of knowledge. What are you talking about, Pastor? I believe in blind faith. Well, faith can be dulled, but I'm not sure that it could ever be really, truly blind. Because you have to have something to have faith in. And you have to have knowledge of something. You know, you couldn't have faith in it, could you? So you have to have knowledge of some form of knowledge of God, Christ, Calvary, Savior, sin. Doesn't mean you have to fully understand it. Because I don't think any of us ever fully get a grasp completely on everything until that day when we all have glorified bodies and minds. But we have to have knowledge to have faith. And I think that everyone sitting here, whether you've ever accepted Christ or not, you have knowledge. If you've sat in here, you've certainly heard about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You heard it this morning. Another thing is you have to have belief. What's belief? Belief is based on the knowledge that I have. I choose to believe. Maybe not a full knowledge. Do you honestly think that any of you ever come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, fully understanding every aspect of creation? I don't think so. Do we ever fully understand exactly what Jesus was going through at the cross? I don't think so. We cannot comprehend the depth of God's love that caused all this to go into play and happen. We can't understand the depth of His mercy. But yet with what we do know, we choose to believe. And you have to have belief for faith. And then we have to have one other thing. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. We have to have faith. What is faith? It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We got to hear it. We got to believe it. We got to trust in him. We have to decide that we're going to fall on, we're going to lean on, we're going to rest on the truth that we've been told. There's our faith. Do we always understand our faith? I say not. Do I always understand my faith? Is my faith ever weak and shaken? Shaken. Yeah. But at that point when I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I take the knowledge that I have, that I knew, that I've heard. I choose to believe it, and I have faith that it's true, and I rest on it. And that's the faith wherein I stand. All put in motion by God through his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit reaches out to me and said, here it is, it's time to come, it's time to believe. Isn't that great? Guess what, folks? You have the easy part. You guys don't understand how hard my life is. No, I don't. I really don't. I don't know what you struggle through every day. I don't think any of you know what I struggle through every day. But oh, is it minute compared to what my Lord sacrificed on the cross? And what our God, loving God, had showed such mercy on us that he was willing to watch his own son go through this for us. Now herein lies the problem that I have. And I think it's the problem because we have this fallen nature. Is I want to talk about me. It's all about me, isn't it? What do I like? What do I believe? What do I feel? You see, it's all about him. We take our eyes off at being about him, and we make it about us. And we begin to fall down. We get so caught up in what we're doing that we forget the main key element in every bit of this. While we were dead in trespasses and sin, he had mercy on us and he loved us so much. What a gift. Do you know anybody that needs that gift? Do you? Have you told them? Have you shared with them? Do we share with them? Because it's a great, amazing gift, you know. Would we not want to share that with somebody? I would think maybe a little bit. And then who are we? He sent his son. His son dies on the cross, Jesus Christ, for your sin and for mine. He's raised on the third day. He goes to be with the Father after a very brief time here ministering to those who would listen, who were there, his disciples. And he promises that he'd leave the Holy Spirit. And then what happens? I want to read about that real quick if I could. 1st thing I want to do is I want to read the first paragraph of where I'm at, and I want you to pick out something in there that may be you. And if you're really great, none of them will fit, okay? But I'm going to find one of these that I can apply to my life because I bet I can. So I'm not going to ask you which one's yours, but as we're reading through this, you grab one of those out. And then what I'm going to do is go to the next part, and I'm going to talk about the gifts of what we're supposed to be doing and who we are. And then you tell me why things are working or not working in your life, okay? Let's go. We are in Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to begin in verse 19. Now these are the work of the flesh. I like this. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Are they obvious to you? They should be, because they're obvious to the world because they watch us all the time. And it says, sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery. And sometimes I wish those words were, we understood a little further depth, that we had a definition for each one. Because we look at idolatry, they go, well, I don't worship idols. Yes, you do. We all do. We have things we put before God, it just became an idol. When our own self-praise can be an idol. Let me tell you, let me qualify that. Anything you put before God is an idol. Sorcery. What's that one? Anyone out there want to toss me out a couple sorcery words? You got some, I'm sure. Huh? Witchcraft? What do you say, Mike?
Addictions, tentacles.
Yeah. You know, most people don't realize that's part of that too. In the sorcery, when you go back and study that, they're actually talking about pharmaceuticals. That's also a passage about pharmaceuticals. Didn't know that, did you? Interesting. Well, that's another study for another day. Thank you, Mike, for bringing that up. What else we have here? Strife. Struggling. Striving with people. Hatred. Anybody got any hatred in their heart? Jealousy? Anyone ever jealous? What about outbursts of anger? Oh, I've never seen that in any of you. Ever. And certainly you've never seen it from me. Stop the laughing. I'm writing down who laughed. Selfish ambitions. Hey, it's all about me. It's all about what I'm going to do, who I'm going to be. Not the person next to me that needs the Lord. Selfies. No, didn't say that. Man, I'll tell you. Dissensions. Anybody ever like to cause dissension? You ever go up to other people? Man, I'll tell you what. If everyone would just think like me, we'd all be great. Huh? If everyone just had my attitude, we'd be fine. Hey, I really don't want to cause a dissension, but did you know? Factions. Very close to dissensions, isn't it? Dividing into groups. Well, we're the group that believe this, and we're the group that believe that, and you don't like this, you don't like that. Within the group. I want you to understand something very clearly, though, when I say that this morning. We're talking about unbiblical, unholy factions. Envy? Anyone ever envious of anyone else? I just have that in one area. I'm envious of all of you. You're all prettier than I am. And you're certainly thinner. So, you know, I envy in that area. Drunkenness? You know, there's a lot of drunkenness out there, and I'm just not talking about alcohol. Do you understand that? Sometimes we're drunk on ourselves. Carousing. Anything similar, which I tell you in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those of you who are stuck in them and don't want out. Those of you who that's who you are and how you live. But the fruit of the Spirit, and it's great. Love, love, joy, joy. Are you joyful today? Do you love other people? Or are you angry at other people today? We do get angry as people. But to be in a constant state of anger or a constant state of unhappiness, guys, we got to really look at who and where we are in our own lives. It's so easy to blame everyone else for where we are or how we feel. I've seen people that will look back on a parent or boy, you don't know how I was treated growing up. No, I don't know how. But I know how my Savior was treated on the cross. And He offered me redemption. And He loved me so much that if I grasp that, I will, all those other things that other people have done to me are pale in comparison to how much He loved me. And that amount of love has to overshadow any wrong that's ever been done to you. Stop living in it. Stop needing feelings to feel good. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Get in your Bibles and study in it. We have been so cheapened in today's society because we can find something to make us feel good, so therefore I feel okay about it because I must, because I feel good at the moment. When the truth is, the deeper you get into the knowledge of Scripture and understanding what God says and what He means in your life, then you will know true joy. You will know true love. You'll know true peace. Kindness. Are you kind to people? Goodness. Faith. Gentleness. Are you gentle with people? Are you rough with people? Self-control. Self-control. Against such things there is no law. I want you to understand something today, that the fruit of the Spirit can travel with you daily, everywhere you go when you surrender to the Lord. Nobody, no place, no institution, no person, no condition can take it away from you, because the Spirit gives it to you. I look at Paul sitting in a Roman jail. Especially by the time he wrote 2 Corinthians. Nero was a-coming and he knew it. He's about to get his head lopped off and he knew it. But I got to tell you something in reading his scripture. He was the perfect example of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, and self-control. Guys, it's not a feeling, it's who you are. It's the qualities instilled in you because of your love and surrender for other people. It's not a feeling. The feeling comes out of who you are. That's where it comes from. How do you feel about people? Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. We must not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. It is my way or the highway. I need my way. I don't care what the Bible says. It doesn't fit what I think I am. Understand something, people. Until you surrender your will to Jesus Christ, no matter what the outcome, you will never know the joy that you can have in your life. Jesus gave it up. He laid everything at the cross. Everything. He set aside all the pleasures and joy known of his deity. Never set aside his deity. But all that joy, he set it aside for you. And he's saying, now, Christian, do you think maybe you can set aside something for me and just say, Lord, not my way, but yours. Not my will, but yours be done. It shouldn't be that hard. It shouldn't be that hard. Guys, this is a short life. Real short life. I can't believe I'm as old as I am. It happened overnight. And I won't be around here, you know, hey, the clock's ticking, folks. Life's been short. It can't be about me. I want every one of you this morning to decide one thing, and you'd make my day. It really doesn't matter if you'd make my day, but you certainly would make the Lord's day. If you would say today that, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. See, we get caught up in this name it and claim it stuff. We decide that we want something, so we claim it, and therefore God better do it, because he wouldn't have put it on my heart if it wasn't what something he wanted. You going to test that against Scripture? You better. But I'm saying, come clean. Come to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Me. Stripped down, nothing. I'm not bringing my pride. I'm not bringing my abilities. I'm not bringing my desire for what's at the grocery store today on sale. I'm not bringing my thoughts of my vacation next week. I'm not bringing any of that stuff. I'm here, standing completely empty and naked before you. What will you have me do? Who do you want? Not what I want to be. Lord, what do you want me to be? The first thing I want to know is, Lord, I'll begin to recognize what you want me to be and that I'm in the right place when I begin to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. Do you understand faith? Do you understand that? That's when it happens, and you know it. Because you've surrendered your will to his will and not your own. And I got to tell you today, if you don't have any of those things, you ain't surrendered it. People can't take it. People don't do it. The Holy Spirit gives it to you. No one can take it from you. You should be able to be in the worst place in the world and feel the love of God in your heart and who you are. And love those around you and care for those people and want to embrace them. Do you understand that? I got to close. This is Easter Sunday coming up. is when we celebrate and recognize our Lord Jesus and what he's done, defeating death for us. Is this going to be a different year for you? Are you finally this year going to surrender to the Lord for the gift that he has given you and say, Lord, not my will but yours be done, and watch the difference in your life? It will happen, I promise you. Our God does not lie. Are you hearing? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What's in here? It's a beautiful, beautiful letter from our God to you, telling you what you need in your life. Are we going to stop playing games? Because that's what we play. We let the world tell us what we're doing. We let people tell us how we ought to worship and think and all these things that may not even know. Can we please go to the Word of God? This is timeless. We let religions influence us that aren't even a century old. Like none of this meant a thing. It's time we get back to the Word of God and do what God told us to do. Amen? Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Oh Lord, I thank you so much for dying on the cross for us. Lord, I ask that we surrender daily. Lord, I ask that I surrender daily. Lord, I ask that it be about you and never about me. Each and every day. Lord, I pray that we would see the power of your word that's sharper than any two-edged sword, that we wouldn't need things of the world to bolster our faith and things of the world to make your word come alive. Lord, your word can come alive on its own. And Lord, we need to have faith in that and share your word and trust you and trust the guiding of the Holy Spirit to do your work. And Lord, that people would respond to you and to your word, which is much sharper than anything we can conjure up on this earth. And I thank you for this day. In your name, amen. Do we have a break for the ushers? Okay, could I have the ushers come forward this morning?